you speak to each and every one of us through your servant. I pray that as we study your word and you open our eyes and give us the wisdom as to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is falsehood, and what is pleasing in your sight, what causing you to displease with our action. And I pray that you fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit and lead us into all truth. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read a few portions of the scripture to you. Today I talk about two things: the work of the Holy Spirit and also the work of the devil within the church. And I write it down, 4:15 and 4, Ephesians 4:15 and 25. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. And then in 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. We are not only member of one body, that one body is our Jesus Christ. In verse 16, from Jesus Christ, the whole body, that one body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are not only member of one body, we are joined together, we are held together by every supporting ligament. If one member of the body suffer, the entire body suffer. In order to help the body to be healthy, we have to speak the truth in love. What does it mean by speaking the truth in love? In other words, when you speak the truth, people will have this kind of response. In verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Why would he mention in verse 26, right after 25, saying, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor? Once you speak truthfully to your neighbor will be angry with you. That's why in 26, verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And if you continue to be angry with the one that who tell the truth, then you give the foothold to the devil. Verse 27, Paul say, do not give the devil a foothold. If you become angry, remain angry after the sun goes down, Satan will get into you. And I want to go to another portion. I want you to write it down. 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty word. Empty word is the opposite of the truth. In the church, you either hear the truth or you hear the empty word. When we hear empty word, normally we won't feel angry, because empty word is flattering word. They flatter you. They cause you to sin against God by deception. Chapter 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty word. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. I want you to write it down right beside chapter 5, verse 6. You write down this. 5, 6, you write down equal sign. Equal sign what? Numbers. Chapter 22 to 25, especially 25. Numbers is Old Testament, is the fourth book written by Moses. The first one, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Number 22, chapter 22 to 24, talk about the Balaam, that false prophet. He was hired by Barak, the king of Moab. King of Moab, and tried to curse the Israelite, because the false prophet Balaam hired by Balak to curse Israelite, because he used by using divination. And he tried to curse it, but the Lord turned it around to become a blessing, because the Lord controlled his tongue. He cannot curse. He tried to curse, but he cannot curse. He ended up blessing the Israelite. So, chapter 22 to 24. But in 25, because he cannot curse the Israelite, so he don't get paid for that. He feel upset, because the reason why he go to curse Israelite, so they get paid with a lot of money. Oh, he found out a way to curse Israelite, not using word, but using deception. I tell you what's the trick. That's the trick of Satan. He using God to destroy his own people by asking the Moabite woman to commit adultery with Israelite. Oh man, when a Moabite woman commit adultery with Israelite, God's wrath come upon them. You know, that guy, that false prophet, Balaam, is very cunning. And he learned that trick from Satan. And Satan now, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 6, he's using the same trick. Satan used to what? He using false teaching, falsehood within the church, and deceive you by deception. And then you worship idol, you commit adultery, and then Satan don't have to destroy you. God will destroy you. So I want you to write it down, okay? Right beside 5-6. And when you get time, you go home and read Number chapter 22 all the way to 25, especially 25. He give the advice to Moabite how to arouse the jealousy of God and causing God to destroy his own people. Because God is a holy God. When God sees his own people commit adultery with the Gentile woman, God is very angry. That is the work of Satan. In those days, in the Old Testament, he did it. In the New Testament, he do it again. Okay? Now I want to stop here to talk about that. Chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 25. Both talk about speaking the truth in love. You must put off falsehood within the church. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. I found out within the church, nowadays, a lot of people, they do not speak the truth. Why? Because we do not want to angry people, make people upset, and end up, we are not saving him. We let him go to hell, or her to go to hell. That's not what the Lord wants. I want you to link it together. Link the word truthfully. Link the word true in verse 15. Verse 25, truthfully linked to anger. In verse 26, in your anger do not sin. And then you write down, when you put the link together, I show you how to do it. You link the word true, truthfully, and then anger, you link it like that. And right beside the lie, you write Galatians 4:16. John 8:40. Then you know why. First of all, I read that to you. John 8:40. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 40. Hold on a second, okay? Okay, let's go to Galatians 4:16 first, okay? Galatians 4:16. Galatians 4:16, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? In those days, when Jesus preached the first sermon in his hometown, in chapter 4 of Gospel of Luke, would you please turn to it? Chapter 4. Verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. When Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit, he overcome the temptation by Satan. And now in 14, when the devil has finished all this temptation, he left Jesus until an opportune time. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Who is coming? I don't know. And news about him spread through the whole country. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogue, and everyone praised him. When Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit, he is in the power of the Spirit. When he preached, when he taught, he preached and he taught with the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, he taught in their synagogue and everyone praised him. Verse 16, he went to Nazareth where he has been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, Jesus found the place where it is written. You write it down, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. It's 2a, not the entire portion of verse 2. Isaiah 61, chapter 61, verse 1 to 2a, the first part of verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And you circle the word, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. As I said before, chapter 4, verse 1, Gospel of Luke, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And 14, Jesus is in the power of the Spirit. And now he found the place in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, is on Jesus, because the Lord has anointed Jesus Christ to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. And verse 20, then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus Christ. They were surprised. How come he preached 2 verses and then stopped it? Everybody looked at him. Wow, this is such a short sermon. It's less than 1 minute. And when everybody fast his eye upon him, verse 21, he began by saying to them, today, this scripture, Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2a, is fulfilled in your hearing, because I am the one who is filled with the Holy Spirit, and I am the one to come to preach the good news to the poor, and I am the one who was sent by God to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. Because a lot of God's people are under the bondage of sins, are controlled by Satan, and they were blind. And now, when Jesus preached, Jesus can open their eyes, they can see the danger of it. And then he began by saying this, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Verse 22, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious word that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. So, every time when Jesus preached, Jesus always preached with the power of the Holy Spirit. Every time. How do I know? I want you to write it down. Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 14, right beside that, you write down John 3:34. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 34. For the one whom God has sent, speak the word of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. When he preached, when he acted, he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he speak the word of God. The truth, nothing but the truth. And then go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 22, the latter part of verse 22. There are two group of people. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious word that came out of his lips. And then they asked, isn't this Joseph's son? In other words, if he is indeed Joseph's son, how can he is well versed? How can he speak so well? He wasn't educated. I know his father. His father is a carpenter. And how can he preach so well? And then Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I want you to write it down right beside verse 23 and right beside the latter part of verse 22. Isn't this Joseph's son? So what does it really mean when he say that? I want you to write it down 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. In those days, they looked at Jesus from a worldly point of view. If your father wasn't educated, and I know you from the very beginning, you wasn't educated, how can you preach well? You may not know what you're talking about. I don't even believe in what you're saying. Okay? Unless you perform some kind of miracle. You know, I heard that you did some miracle at Capernaum. You may as well do it in your hometown. Show it to us. Prove your credential so that I can trust you, so that I can believe in you. But Jesus refused to do so. Jesus doesn't need miracle to prove his credential. Verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. He continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. So I'm no exception. I'm a prophet. You don't accept me. I know why. Because no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Verse 25, I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, when there's a famine, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. And yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. That means Elijah was sent to a Gentile place to rescue the widow of a Gentile widow, not saving the life of a Jewish widow. Oh, they were upset. And Jesus gave another example about Elisha, verse 27. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet no one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian, the Gentile general. In verse 28, okay, I want you to write it down. Verse 24, I tell you the truth. Jesus Christ gave these two illustrations. One is the Elijah, one is Elisha. These two illustrations is the truth. When Jesus Christ tell them the truth, they were upset. They were angry. Verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw Jesus down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So what am I trying to tell you in this portion of the scripture? When Jesus, in verse 24, tell them the truth, they become furious. They want to kill him. I want you to circle the word, the truth. Circle the words, verse 24, the truth. And then verse 28, were furious and want to kill Jesus. Throw him down the cliff. And I want you to write down Ephesians, Galatians 4:16, and Ephesians chapter 4, 4:15, 4:25. When people in the church, especially the pastor in the church, speaking the truth in love, verse 15, 4:15, and then 4:25, you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. When we do that, the reason why we do it is out of love. What do you mean by love? Because if one member of the body suffer, the entire body suffer. You know, sometimes, you know, if you use a hammer not carefully, you just hit one portion of your fingernail, you know, you feel so painful. The entire body shock. Gets so hurt, you know. So, in order to help the body to grow and healthily, we have to speak the truth in love. Put off falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body, verse 25. But the fact of the matter is, doesn't matter how gentle you say it, the truth is the truth. I believe when Jesus Christ was so filled with the Holy Spirit, can someone read that to me? When someone feel, do you remember what I say? Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 4:14, Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? When Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit, you write down Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. What's the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Nine fruit. When Jesus Christ was so filled with the Holy Spirit, and I believe he has patience with his congregation, I believe he speak it in love. And yet, I don't think anyone on earth has a better manner than Jesus Christ. And I don't think any one of us love our brother and sister more than our Lord Jesus Christ love us. Do you agree with that? And yet, when Jesus Christ speak the truth in love,
they were furious. You understand what I'm trying to say?
If Jesus Christ was kicked out of the synagogue, whoever the pastor, when he put out falsehood and telling the truth and speak the truth in love, they will be kicked out too. Because a student cannot be greater than the teacher. A servant cannot be greater than the master. If your master was kicked out, you'd be kicked out too. So remember, when you go to see your grandpa, he may say something to you. Prepare for that. And don't be upset. Remember, Jesus Christ say in a loving way, a more loving way, more gentle way than any person on earth, and yet people kick him out. Want to throw him off the cliff. You understand what I'm trying to say? Could you read Galatians chapter 5? When Jesus Christ was so filled with the Holy Spirit, what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? You read that, Donald? He speaks in a gentle way. He speaks in a loving way because he's so filled with the Holy Spirit. He speaks in a peaceful way, in a kind way, in a good way, in a faithful way, in a self-control way. He speaks with patience, and yet people respond with furious, right? Now, I want to go back. Do you remember what I say at the very beginning when I talk about the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the devil? You remember what's the work of the devil in Numbers chapter 22 all the way to 25? From 22 to 24, the devil used the false prophet Balaam to curse the Israelite. And yet, God controlled the tongue of Balaam, turning his cursing into a blessing. So he can't curse. If he can't curse, he didn't finish his job, he don't get paid. He's upset, you know, he's wasting his time. So he think of a way, oh, I don't need to curse him. All I need is asking the Moabite woman to tempt them, to seduce them, to lure them, to attract them, to commit adultery, and God become angry, and God will kill them. You know what's the end result? The end result is he's successful. And God indeed was angry with his own people. A lot of people were struck dead. But God later on used Joshua to kill Balaam. Because he's using this deception, trick to do that. Satan say, I don't need to curse them, to attack them. If it doesn't work, I let them commit adultery. Let God be angry with them. Well, that is really deception, you know. Wow, man, this, and then Paul knowing that, and Paul saying the same thing in the book of Ephesians. Wow, man, I read that to you, okay? You remember what I say? Chapter 4, you circle the word chapter 4. Verse 15, circle the word, speaking the truth in love. And then 4:25, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. And then, you know what a non-Christian used to do? Verse 4:17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. You know what the Gentiles keep doing? The Gentiles keep lying. Gentiles lie all the time. Gentiles put on falsehood. They don't put off falsehood. We Christians, we should learn to put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Unfortunately,
Christian follow the very pattern of Gentile. Live as the Gentile do. And among brother and sister, we speak falsehood to each other. Why? Because we do not want to angry our member. Because we know that even when Jesus Christ speak the truth, they become furious with Jesus Christ. I want you to circle the words 415, 425, and then I want you to write down 426. Circle the word. In your anger, do not sin. Circle the word anger. What makes people angry is because they hear the truth. I don't care how gentle you say it. You know what? I can show it to you. Donald, could you just act it out? And you say in an angry way, but the word is, ah, you are so beautiful. Just do it. Do it in an angry way. Says, we'll see whether we'll become angry or not. Like, come on, act it out. I want to act out. Or Gabriel, you say, ah, you are so ugly, you know. You just tell the truth, you are so ugly, but even though you use the most gentle way that you can ever think of, say this word. Pastor John, you are so ugly. You just say that. You just say it in such a way that see whether I like it or not, okay? Say it. Stand up. Eh? You say it. I just want you to act it out, okay? Unfortunate looking. I don't want you to say unfortunate looking. Just say the word ugly, okay? Unfortunate looking. Oh, man. And then you say in an angry way, but you're telling lie. You say, I think, just act it out, Donald. Say in an angry way, but the word is flattering word. Yes, we. You know what I mean? Do you see what I mean? Do you see? So because we know the end result, and then when we live together, we don't want to upset our own brother. We end up put on falsehood and not telling the truth. I want you to circle the word. Remember that? That is 4:15. That's 4:25. And there's 426, right? Is it 26? Is angry is the word 26? And then you link it together. You write Galatians 4:16. And you write down Luke chapter 4, verse 14 all the way to where? Can someone tell me? Luke chapter 4, 14 all the way to, no, I just finished reading at the, 30. You write it down, okay? So that you know why they're angry. You know, if a pastor, if the congregation being angry with the pastor, they say, well, the pastor, he is not filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't have a gentle heart. He didn't have a kind heart. But my Lord Jesus Christ was so filled with the Holy Spirit. He speak with patience, with joy, with self-control, with love. And yet, they were furious with him. Do you understand? In other words, the truth, listen to that. When you hear the truth, your response to the truth determines where will you go. If you respond with a furious way, you end up going to hell. If you respond with a cut in your heart and you turn around, in verse Act 2:38, could someone read that to me? When you hear that, you don't say, oh, something wrong with the pastor who say things like that. or something wrong with myself, what should I do? If you say, what should I do? Then you go into heaven. You say something wrong with Jesus Christ, something wrong with his pastor, then you end up going to hell. Could Edda, could you read that? Chapter 2, verse 38. Okay, the 37 then.
37? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do?
What shall we do? You understand? When you hear the truth, your response determines where are you heading. If you are furious with the truth, that means you do not belong to the truth. That means you belong to the devil. Why? Because Gospel of John saying that Satan is a father of lie. Our Heavenly Father is a father of truth. Your response to the truth determine where you're heading. You got that? Okay. Go back. Chapter 5. You know, I want to reveal the work of Satan to you and to the church. Chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty word. You know what? When people deceive you with empty word, you won't be angry. When you hear empty word, you'll be happy. Hannah, you want people to say to you, you are such a beautiful girl. I've never seen such a beautiful girl in my life. You are the first one. How do you feel? Feel good or feel bad?
You can ask me, it feels pretty.
But do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know why we will be deceived? We love to hear that. And we say, tell me more. What else? Right? We want more of that. That's why we were deceived. But the Bible says, let no one deceive you with empty word. Empty word means it's the opposite of the truth. Right? In other words, let no one deceive you with empty word. It's just like, when you hear the truth, do not become furious. You should ask, what should I do? Then you won't be deceived, right? Isn't it? I say in another way, right? Listen to me, my brother and sister. You are my member. If you suffer, I suffer. If the Lord bless you, I get blessed. You don't get blessing, I don't get blessing. We are in the same boat. You know, I don't know whether you know, 100-some-odd years ago, there's a lot of missionary they sent from U.S., Canada, England to go to China. Within the same boat, you know, they send the opium and to China and then take the gold away. And the missionary go with the merchantile boat, you know, together, and because it's such a small confinement, if one people gets sick, the everybody gets sick. Some people, they can't even land it into China, they die already. If one people are sick, we are all sick. So in order to make the church healthy, we have to speak the truth in love and put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, because we are all members of one body. Let no one deceive you with empty word. Let each and every one of us tell the truth in love, so that we can grow, because we are all joined together, held together by every supporting ligament. And make sure that we build the church, not destroy the church. Okay? Let no one deceive you with empty word, for because of such thing, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. When God's wrath is on us, we all suffer. We all suffer. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know what's the work of Satan? He say to you, look at that guy, the preacher. He didn't say with love. He has no patience. He has no kindness. I don't have to listen to him. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then you reflect every time when people say to you like that, you look at the wording of Dr. Luke. You know who write the book of Luke? It's Dr. Luke. You know who write the book of Acts? It's Dr. Luke. Luke chapter 4 verse 14 to 30 is a sermon preached by who? By Jesus Christ. To the audience of the Jewish people in the synagogue of his hometown, right? And then Acts chapter 2 was written by Dr. Luke also regarding the sermon preached by who? By the 12 apostles, especially Apostle Peter. And you know that Acts chapter 2 talk about when the Holy Spirit come upon them, right? And they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit, right? When a preacher is so filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what happened? When he preached sermon, the result is chapter 2, verse 37. When we hear that, when we hear the truth, we find out I'm wrong, God is right. It cut to my heart. And we ask, what should I do in order to be saved, right? That's the right response. And then Peter say, repent and turn to God. Your sins, repent and turn to God and be baptized. And your sins will be forgiven. On top of that, and you will receive the Holy Spirit too. Make sure every time when you hear a sermon that you don't like, you have to ask yourself, what is my response to the truth? Do I follow the footstep of the disobedient people, or follow the footstep of those people who obey to God? Let no one deceive you by empty word. If you were deceived by empty word and refused to be changed, you know what happened? God's wrath will come upon us. That is Satan. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then I talk about in chapter 6 regarding the truth. The truth in chapter 4, 15, 25, chapter 5, verse 6, and then chapter 6. Go to chapter 6, verse 14. Let's see how did Paul describe the truth. Verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckle around your waist. You know the heavy weight lifter. I've never seen any heavy weight lifter, he don't put a belt around his waist. Because if you don't put a belt around your waist, you're gonna wreck your back. You're gonna hurt your back so poor. And on top of that, you can't lift up so much heavier weight. You can, if you have a belt around it, you can lift weight heavier than you can ever think of. On top of that, do you know, like when you move your house, when you get a mover, do you see the guy, the mover? If he's a professional mover, he know what he's doing. He lift heavy weight, he's supposed to put what? Put a belt around that. Because he's not going to get a few hundred dollars from you and then hurt his back, and then he has to rest for 2-4 weeks and then for a few hundred dollars. Right? He's going to protect himself. Okay? So in the same way, brother and sister, if you want to overcome Satan, do you remember in chapter 4? Chapter 4, Dr. Luke, writing that in Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 1 to 13, how did Jesus Christ overcome Satan? With what? With the truth. As it is written in the scripture, right? Using the truth. You write down chapter 6, verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. If you want to have strength to fight the battle against Satan, you better put on the belt of truth. You have to have the truth. But within the church, if brother and sister do not speak the truth in love, how do we know the truth? If we don't have the truth, how do we have strength? You have no strength. Strength comes from the truth. And verse 15, okay, the latter part of verse 14. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. Righteousness. If I don't hear the truth, how do I know what is right, what is wrong? What is righteous in God's sight? What is unrighteous in God's sight? We learn it from the truth. So that's why. That's why in, let me see. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says like that. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and in true holiness. That means there's two kinds of righteousness and two kinds of holiness. One is worldly, one is godly. True righteousness and holiness. That is according to the word of God. If I don't hear the truth, how do I know what is true righteousness? How do I know what is true holiness? Okay? So that righteousness is also from the truth. If I don't have the truth, if I don't hear the truth, I don't know what is right in God's sight. Verse 15. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is from the truth too. If I don't read the scripture, how do I know the gospel of peace? Verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. I want you to circle the word faith. You write down Romans 10:17. Faith comes from the hearing of the message. Message comes from the word of Christ. The word of Christ is the truth. So faith comes from the truth. When you hear the faith, when you hear the truth, you have faith in God, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. The truth tells us that God saved us through his son Jesus Christ by his blood shed on the cross. And then the word, take up the word of the Spirit. What is the word of the Spirit? Which is the word of God. That's the truth too. So it is so important within the church. Make sure that when I go to the church, I want nothing but the truth. You tell me what's the truth. Make sure that within the church, we put off falsehood. If you don't put off falsehood, you flatter brother and sister, you end up setting trap for them to fall into the trap. I want you to write down the Proverbs. I read that to you. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hates those it hurt, and a flattering mouth works ruin. When someone flatters you, when someone deceives you with empty word, he hates you. He didn't love you. He worked ruin. He wanted to destroy you. But you know what? He tried to destroy you just like Balaam tried to destroy Israelite. He ended up being destroyed. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5. Whoever flatter his neighbor. Flatter his neighbor, that means he put on falsehood, try to deceive others for his own good, is spreading a net for his own feet. Just like Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27. If a man dig a pit, and he will fall into it. If a man roll a stone, it will roll back on him. Whenever you flatter people, people will flatter you too. You set trap for him to fall, he will set trap for you to fall. Whoever flatter his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. You know what? When someone tells you the truth, although it hurt you, but he tried to save your life, when you turn around, you will get blessing. You will get blessing. Gospel of John 15:3. When I hear the word of God, when I hear the truth, I'm cleansed by his word. When you are cleansed by his word, you truly have true holiness and true righteousness. God's favor, God's love will come upon you. And just like Psalm 90, verse 17. May the beauty, may the favor of our Lord rest upon you. May he establish the work of your hand. Yes, establish the work of your hand. When you speak the truth in love, you build the church. The Lord will build your life. Etta, could you read 90:17?
May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us.
That favor you can translate in the small print is the beauty. Right? Mm-hmm. How do you make yourself beautiful? How can you make yourself gain favor from the Lord? Speak the truth in love. Build the church. Do not destroy the church. Whoever flatter, set trap to the other people. You build the church. The Lord will build your life. May the beauty of our Lord rest upon us. You read that again.
May the of our hands for us, yes, establish the work of our hands.
How do we build God's church? Speak the truth in love. When you do that, God's favor on you, God's beauty on you, instead of God's wrath on you. You understand? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we know Satan is against us every day. Just like what Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 6, we are not fighting this battle within the church among brother and sister, among pastor and congregation. No, that's not true. We are fighting the war together, pastor and congregation together against Satan. And that's exactly what Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against the authority, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Lord, I pray that every time when your servant read your scripture, you open his eye, give him insight, so that he know the work of Satan, he also know the work of the Holy Spirit, so that I can teach in a positive way. We seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit according to 5:18. At the same time, put off falsehood and speak the truth in love among brother and sister, so that we build the other member of the same body, so that the church will grow up together in love. And I pray that as we build your church, may the beauty of our Lord rest upon each and every one of us. And may your favor, may your grace fall upon us too. And remember the work of our hand and establish it and bless us too. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Do you